speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
As I think about family, I also think about not only the church family, but our individual families. And the Bible identifies to us that marriage and the home were established by our God. God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden, and He joined them together as a husband and wife. And in doing so, God identifies, I believe, from the very onset of their relationship, that He wanted them to have a healthy relationship with one another. He wanted them to enjoy life and to be happily married as a husband and wife, and God set them up for success. And good people, not only did God set Adam and Eve up for success, our God has set each and every one of us who are able to enjoy marriage up for success. Yet I look to our modern society and I find that many homes are struggling. Many marriages are not happy. Many marriages are not what God designed, and in all then that they are struggling with their relationships. And in this we find is that there is division taking place in many of their relationships, and not only in the husband and wife relationship, but good people, also in the home. Many homes are falling apart, and many have. And sadly, the true story of all that is that many will continue to do so. Why? Because it's become a part of who we are as a society. What is it that has caused these problems, good people? I believe that it is because of a failure of love. People do not love one another as what God assigned concerning the husband and wife. People do not love one another in regard to what God assigns concerning the whole family unit. And as a result of that then, over the course of time, it breaks down. Also, there is a failure to understand the roles that we play in the home, the role that the husband plays, as well as the role that the wife plays and the role that the children play, and then also the role that not only we play while we are in the home, sometimes even the role that we play outside the home, and the roles and the responsibilities that we have need to be clearly understood in order for us to have a successful home, but good people, also in order for us to have successful relationships with our families as a whole, even after our families are grown. For help, a lot of times people will turn to counsel. And counseling is good in as much as they are going to advise you according to the way of God. We live in a society today wherein that people strive to counsel outside of the realm of God, and therefore people will receive all kinds of advice saying that if you're not happy in the relationship you're in, it's okay. Put that individual away and go on. Good people, that is not according to God's standard, and therefore if you receive counseling that is contrary to the standards of God, then we need to put the counselor away and go on to strive to find somebody else, if you would, who will counsel us according to the way that God expects us to go. Others will turn to books, and they will say that this is a good read and that this material helped them in their relationship. And I tell you that there are indeed some good books and excellent material that is out there that will help us with our relationship, that will help us concerning family matters. But yet at the same time, the book for life is the book of life. And that, I mean that it is the Word of God. When we think in regard to the relationship that we have with one another, good people, I tell you that our God is the perfect picture concerning love. Whenever it comes to our God and the way in which He loves, the Bible defines God's love by using a Greek word agape, and that word agape, as it defines our God and the love that He has for us, it expresses that God loves us sacrificially, and it also identifies that our God loves us without any end. Yet at the same time, whenever we live a life that is saturated with sin, whenever we live a life that is separated from God, we understand that God practices a tough love upon us. Why? Because He can have no true relationship with those who live in sin. But yet at the same time, we realize that God's agape love for us wants to draw us out of sin and into a very personal relationship with Him. God loves us so much, good people, is that He expresses His love continually for us John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." This is one of many through the Old Testament and into the New Testament Scripture where God expresses His love for us. But good people, you and I that know that not only does God express His love, our God demonstrates the type of love that He has for each and every one of us. The expression and demonstration of God's love is seen when God has created mankind after His image. We, out of all the creatures that God has created, man is the one that God created after His image. But not only do we find the demonstration of God's love there, also whenever we think in regard to our life, our God provides for us. Our God supplies the provisions that we need in life in order for us to sustain life, but not only to have a quality of life here, but in order for us to enjoy life here. Our God is so good to us, and the reason we find the goodness of God in our lives is based out of the love that He has for us. But good people, you and I know as Christians that the greatest demonstration of the love of God is seen at the cross of Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, Paul says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, He commends His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." Yes, good people, our God is the perfect picture of love. And as Christians, you and I are expected to love as God loves. Well, what does that mean? Good people, it means that first and above all, we must love God. He must be the ultimate object of the love that we have here. We must love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But not only does God expect us to love Him, God expects us to love our fellow man. He wants us to see people the way in which He sees them, to recognize that inside the flesh and a part of the human body is a soul that dwells within us here, but also a soul that someday will stand before our God and our Creator in judgment. And therefore, we love souls to the point to where we are constantly engaging them in life to tell them about the love of God and how that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and also how that these individuals can have a relationship with our God. But in like figure, our God expects us to love our brethren. That is, that we are to love the brotherhood. We are to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And what type of love should we have for one another? Good people, we need to have a phileo love, and that is a brotherly love, a love that says, "I love you as a brother or sister in Christ," and we need to express that type of love for each other. But also, we need to have the same type of love that God has for us, and that is an agape love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It says, "I love you no matter what. I love you, and if you're living in sin, I want you to come out of that error of your way and to live a life of godliness. If you're living a life that is indeed in line with the will of God, then I love you, and I want to see you to continue to walk as God commands us to walk as brethren." As brothers and sisters who love one another, we're constantly united, and in that unity then, we're reaching out to demonstrate on a continual basis the love that we have for each other. But also, as Christians, we must love our families. And as we think in regard to loving our families, we need to express the love that we have for our families on a continual basis. And we need to have an agape love for our families that says that we will love you no matter what. And we will state that love, and we will demonstrate this love on a continual basis. And when we think in regard to families loving one another, men, I tell you this morning as I stand before you that husbands must love our wives even as Christ so loved the church. Christ gave Himself for the church. Christ sacrificially surrendered His life for the church, which was and is His bride. And in like figure, if we want our homes to be as it ought to be, as we need it to be, and as God commands it to be, then we also must love our wives and our family as Christ loved the church. Our women and our families need to hear our love. And sometimes I know that it's old school for people to say that I love you. And men, I know that some of you maybe are from that school of thought wherein that it's you're uncomfortable with saying I love you. But yet at the same time, we need to be individuals who express on a continual basis verbally to our wives exactly how we feel about them. If we love them, they need to hear us say that. But also, women need to see our love. And somebody says, well, Kevin, whenever I was young, whenever we were dating, I was very good at expressing and also showing my love. I would take flowers from time to time and I would deliver candy and my wife was pleased with that, or my girlfriend at the time, and now my wife, and she knows the way that I feel because I expressed that so many years ago. And she says, yes, it's been so many years ago. And men, we need to make certain that we step up and that we show our wives continually how we love them. And they need to feel that on a continual basis. And men, we need to do all that we can to make certain that our wife understands that she most certainly is the love of our life. But it does not only pertain to men in the home to express their love. Good people, it is also very essential for the wife to honor her husband through obedience. God commands women to love, honor, and to respect their husbands. Why does God do that? Because man was created first, and also because the woman was deceived in the garden. That's what God says. But yet at the same time, the reason that God commands this is because God has presented the man as the head of the house. And as the head of the house, then God says that the man is deserving of the woman to love her, to love him as her husband. And also he is deserving of this because of the position that God has placed him in as head over the house. And today as I stand before you, I tell you that not only does God command this, and also does he deserve your honor, your respect, and your love, he also needs that in order for him to be able to function in the role that God commands him to do as head of the house. But also, he needs this in order for the home to be the unit that God prescribes it to be. But not only for the way in which God commands it to be, but also for the way in which each and every one of you who comprise the home need it to be. In order for the home to be a happy unit, the wife must honor her husband through full submission unto him throughout their relationship, throughout their life together. But also, we live in an age today wherein that some people, parents, do not understand their role. And God says, though, that parents must rear their children according to the love of God. We have children today, and it's always been this way, in fact, is that they want our love. Children want so much to have their parents love them, to handle them in ways that would express exactly how they feel about them, to speak to them in ways that will not only discipline them whenever they are doing wrong, but rather to speak to them in ways that will express their love and encourage them along the way. And also, not only do children want our love, our children also expect guidance as they go throughout the course of their time here. They need guidance in life, and if they do not have guidance in life, you and I know that they will find that guidance which will lead them down a path of ungodliness, down a path that will not only be ungodly, that they will answer to God for, sometimes it will lead them down a path that will be ruinous to them while they are here in this world. It might even lead to where they spend time in jail and things of that nature. And for that reason, because of our love for our children, we need to express our love and to give them the guidance. And our children deserve our devotion to them as we go throughout the course of our life here. And we must continually express that as they're in a home, but not only while they're in a home, even after they have grown and after they have left the home. That must continue on as we look in regard to our children and the love that we must have for them. But in like figure, children must respect their parents throughout the course of their life. Children are obligated by God to show their parents how much they love them, how they respect them, and how they want to honor them with their life. And how they do that, good people, by bringing their life in line with the will of God and to live their life as Christians. But also, children must express how they feel towards their parents. There are some parents that will say to me from time to time that their children are misbehaving in ways that do not demonstrate a love and an honor for them, or they will say that yes, their children do demonstrate a love for them, but yet at the same time they will not verbally express that. Kids, listen this morning. You need to continually express the love that you have for your mother and for your father. Not only to express it once, but rather to express it on a continual basis. Why? Because they need that. And not only while you are in the home, but also to continue to express that love after you have grown, after you are an adult, and after you're out in society and you have a home of your own, and you maybe have children of your own. You continue to express the love that you have for mom and dad. And in like figure, the mother and father must continue to express that love that they have for those who they have the responsibility of raising, their own children. What are the responsibilities that we have then whenever it comes to living life and being successful in life, and whenever it comes to our individual being here in this world? To people, every soul has personal responsibilities in life in order for them to be successful as a Christian, but also in order for them to be successful as a citizen in the world and whenever it comes to family matters. Every member should pursue an education and training that is going to be beneficial for them, to help them to be able to find their role in life. In order for them to be able to earn their keep, it requires these individuals to be educated at least to some degree, as well as to receive training so that they're able then to do what? To put their interest and their abilities to work. God expects us to not only to pursue an education. There's an individual that I know that graduated a year after I did from high school, and I met that individual about 15 years after we had been out of school. And the individual, I asked him, I said, "What are you doing in life?" And the individual told me at that time, it was a female, she says, "Well, I'm a career student." I said, "What do you mean a career student?" She says, "Well," she says, "I just can't decide what I want to do in life, so therefore I just keep going to school." God expects us, yes, to be educated and to train, but yet at the same time to put our interest and our abilities to work. And then, as we work in our life, then God expects us to accept that responsibility to pay our bills and the expenses as they come due. Paul told the saints at Rome, he says, "Owe no man anything." In fact, sometimes people have looked at that passage of Scripture and said that it's not right for a Christian to go in debt for anything. And good people, that's not at all what God has under consideration there. What God is saying is that whenever you borrow money and it has a due date, you pay it whenever it's due. Whenever you have electric bills, and whenever you have car payments, whenever you have mortgage payments and all these things, whenever they are due, then you make your payments. You make those payments on time so that they're no longer due, and so that those who have given you credit, that they will not have ill things to say regarding you. And God expects us as individuals with our responsibilities then to practice good habits, ethical ways in life. We are to do things upright and honest in the sight of all men. That is within our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also whenever we deal with people out here in society. God expects you and me to continually practice doing good to every individual, but also to make certain that we do things in an upright and godly manner. And whenever we do not, then we are not pleasing in the sight of God. But also, God identifies from the context of Scripture is that individually, each one of us have a responsibility to plan for, we call it, rainy days. Whenever things aren't going so well, whenever we have things happen in our life, we need to plan for future events. Don was talking a few weeks ago about Miranda. And she's not getting married yet. I hope not. But she says, Miranda was talking to her about what she would like whenever it comes to her wedding. And I'm like, "Boy, that sounds expensive." Don says, "Hey, she's our daughter. You got to save for it. You got to plan for it." We owe it to ourselves and we owe it to our families to plan for rainy days and to plan for future events, to lay by and to store so that we're able to give back into God, but also to make certain that we have things that is there for the comfort of our family as well as there to pay the bills whenever they come due in and on a monthly basis, if you would. But also parents have responsibilities. Every parent should state their love for each child. In the context, God expects those who have children to love their children mutually. God expects them to love their children equally and to make certain that as they express their love for their children, whether they're in their home or even if they're outside of the home, is that they continually express, verbally express, as well as demonstrate as they have those opportunities with their children so that these kids know exactly how much they love them on an ongoing basis. But then in like figure, to supply for their kids while they are in the home. Now that does not mean that as parents we have a responsibility to buy everything that our kids want. Why? Because Don and I, if that was the case, we'd have been broke a long time ago whenever we went to Walmart for the first time with our youngins. You're all like that. The kids want everything, but yet at the same time, we have a responsibility to supply for the things that are essential to life, but also as parents, we want them to have things in life, and there's nothing at all wrong with that. And God identifies that unto the parents, we must supply, and we ought to aspire, to desire to supply for our children while they are in the home. But also, I contend, and I believe scripturally, the Bible teaches that we must support our children as they pursue an education. And in that, I'm not advocating that we would pay for their education in full, but rather what I'm saying is that we would stand behind them and say that I support you, I am praying for you, I'm behind you, and if we can financially give towards that, then by all means we do, and we should. Why? Because it is an expression as to how we are wanting to see these individuals develop that we love so that they're able to go on and to be productive citizens in life. But in like figure, I believe that the Bible identifies is that we as parents would have an obligation if we also have the ability with the opportunity to help during times of trial, to subsidize is the way I've stated it here. In that, sometimes difficulties come around wherein that after children are gone and they're outside of the home, that they might need help. And therefore, if mom and dad or mom or dad has the opportunity conjoined with the ability, then they ought to come in and to do what they possibly can to assist during those times and opportunities. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are the household of faith. Yet at the same time, I say that we must understand that there is that fine line wherein that we must, and that we should anyway, stop before laziness would come into play. You say, Kevin, what are you saying? If we keep feeding individuals along the way, and they are not working for themselves, they're not laying by for and planning for rainy days, we might actually hinder our children in being productive citizens. And therefore, we've got to consider, as we're seeking to help them, that our help is limited to the point to where we are helping them and where then that we would be feeding their laziness, if you would, if it were to develop into that. We do not want lazy children, but rather we want them to grow and to be productive citizens in this world. And everything that we do from a financial standpoint and as it comes to encouraging needs to encourage them to be productive citizens in the environment of which they are part of. And also the Bible identifies is that children have responsibilities and therefore every child should always express their love and honor their parents. That needs to be done while they are in home, but also it needs to be done whenever they are outside of the home. Oftentimes you will hear, and I'm so grateful that I've not heard that here with the body of Christ, but you will hear of people in this world who that when their parents grow old, they know they never go visit them while they live in the home, or they put them in a nursing home and the parents never see them again. Good people, our parents have sacrificed so much for us. And they do. If you're in the home today, your parents are sacrificing so much for you. Love them while you are in their presence. And if you're not in their presence, in their home any longer, find opportunities to be in their presence and express on a continual basis how much you love them and how much you respect and honor them for who they are and for all that they have and continue to do for you. And also, we need to answer our parents in a godly way, in godly submission. I'm reminded of the way in which the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, answered Mary. In the context there where they had journeyed to Jerusalem and Jesus stays back and Mary and Joseph come to realize that He's not in their company, Mary is beside herself and she goes to Joseph and they get together and they go back and they find Him there with the wise men in the temple. And Jesus is there in the presence of those individuals and Mary says, "Where have you been?" You can see that, can't you? How that a concerned mother would say something like that, "Where have you been?" And Jesus said, "Did you not know that I was about my Father's business?" Some commentators say that Jesus was being rude there. I don't think that He was. I think He's saying to His mother, "You've seen the way that I've operated. Did you not know that I was about my Father's business?" And the Scripture says, though, that He went back and He was in submission to His mother and father. And He grew in favor with both God and man as a result of that. And we need to be people during the time in which we are in our parents' home and even after we have left their home is that we have that submissive, humble, contrite attitude as we deal with our family members. And then as children, we need to do all that we can to align ourselves according to godliness, to live our lives according to the will of God. Why? Because as your Christian parents are raising you, they're striving to raise you in such a way that will glorify and that will honor our God and our Creator. And the thing that they want most in life is not for you to go out and to be a part of the world. Yes, they want you to grow and to be a productive citizen, but the thing that they want you to grow to be most and above all is a productive, strong, solid citizen in the kingdom of God. And children in and outside of the home owe it to their parents to align their life according to godliness. And nothing will bring parents any more joy, a Christian parent, any more joy than to find their children living in the faith. But also, for those of us who are outside of the home and our parents start to grow old, and their health begins to fail. The memory may be not what it used to be due to disease or due to the fact that they're just growing older. They're not able to get out and to do the things that they used to do. You know, I've dealt with some people from time to time who get near the close of their life and they will say, "I'm not sure about my faith." And I've had those opportunities, those privileges, if you would, to sit with those individuals and to ask them, "Well, what has your life been about?" And they say, "Well, my life has been about God, reading His Word daily. My life has been about being involved with the church, always at the services." And I always turn to those individuals who've demonstrated to me that they've had a faithful life, and I say, "Well, what are you questioning? You're right with God." And we need to be there for our families to assure them in their faith as they grow older. To let them know that that which they have lived indeed lines up, if it does, line up with the Word of God, that they are faithful citizens in the kingdom and that God has an amazing reward lined up for those individuals who live their life for Him. And then also, we need to be ready and to be there to help them during their difficult hours. To be there as they were there for us during the times of which they were rearing us. But you know, it doesn't end there. Christians have responsibilities to our family. Every congregation should visit the widows and the orphans. And that doesn't mean that we go out and we knock on the door and we say, "Hey, how are you doing today? I hope it's going well." And we go on to the next widow or down to the orphan home and we visit that individual and just spend time with them. That's important. But what he says in the context, it's very critical for us to understand. He's saying that we understand their needs, and based out of what their needs are, then we visit that. We fulfill their need. Again, as we have opportunity, conjoined with ability, we do all that we can to make certain that all of their needs are met. And those individuals who are widows and orphans, they need that. Why? Because they have, in so many cases, nobody else. And for that reason, as members of the body of Christ and as a congregation of the Lord's people, we need to do all that we possibly can to be there to visit the needs of the widows and orphans, and then in like figure to assist those who are outside. Our Lord constantly went about doing good. He found needs that people had who were lost souls, and He did all that was within His power to do to meet those needs. And in like figure, Christians are to emulate Christ. We are to walk as He walked. And as we find souls that are outside of the body of Christ, who are lost in the day of judgment, who have no hope whenever they stand before God in judgment, if they have needs and we have opportunity conjoined with ability, then we ought to do all that we possibly can to help meet those needs. Why? Because their soul is important to God, and their soul ought to be important to us. But also souls, brethren, we should do all that we can to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians 6 and verse 10 we referred to a few moments ago. As you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith. When our brothers and sisters have needs that they cannot meet themselves, when our brothers and sisters have needs that their family will not or cannot meet themselves, then as a congregation, what a blessing it is for us to have that opportunity to come in and to extend our hand of fellowship, to assist those who have needs, to let them know how much we love them. But also, as a congregation, we should educate our families concerning the things that we've already discussed. How that they have individual responsibilities to provide for themselves and to make certain that they provide for the families and that they lay by in store so that they have the ability to provide for the times that are unexpected. But also we need to educate concerning families, how that when the family's not able to provide for themselves, but also then that the family members, when they're able, can come in and to help. And yet at the same time, we need to identify unto every single one of us is that we should stress and that we must strive to be holy above all. Is that our life is to be about living for God and not setting our minds so much upon the things of the world, because sometimes that's what gets us in trouble, is that we want the things that the world has to offer versus the things that heaven has in store for us. And therefore we set our eyes upon those things, the prize of heaven. We have so many blessings and privileges that we have in life. Today, as I stand before you, I tell you that your family matters. Your family is important to God. God created the home, and God continues to work with the home to express continually each day how much He loves each of us, but also how He works within our homes to provide for us. But not only is your family important to God, your family is important to us as an eldership, as deacons in the body of Christ, and as each individual member. You are very important to each one of us who serve in the church as leaders, and we want to do all that we can to strengthen the home, to fortify your homes so that you will never fall. What am I saying? Your family is important. Your family is important to God, to us. Your family is important. And I hope and pray that your family is always important to you, and that you will express that and demonstrate that with every opportunity that you have each day. Why? Because someday you will be in a position where part of that family will no longer be with you, and therefore you will regret those moments that you did not express your love, demonstrate that love. Your family is important. Today, are you a part of the greatest family of all? That family is the family that was instituted through Jesus Christ. What He did at Calvary's cross to give us an opportunity to be saved, conjoined with our obedience to His will. Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, why not do that today?